I would like to welcome everybody to Cross Culture Church's Tuesday noon Bible study, and today we are moving into chapter 10 in the mighty book of Daniel. And we've had nine good chapters with God dealing with our prophet Daniel here, giving him insights, the ability to interpret dreams and to bring a right now word to people who are in bondage. So as we do all the time, we have endeavored to take Old Testament scripture and then relate it to New Testament times, because Old Testament is basically a reflection of what's going to happen in the New, and so how people responded in the Old, we should be able to take an account of and be inspired by. Am I right about it?
Yes.
All right. So, chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was what?
True.
It was true. But the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I'm going to stop right there. What does that word mourning mean? How can we relate what he was going through to today?
He was like in prayer.
Okay.
He was, you know, mourning in prayer. He was serious.
Okay.
Sad.
Okay. Yes.
Like Daniel, when God shows you a vision and you see it, it's like it's like troubling. It's like your heart, you know, because you see what the people are going to have to go through. And so it's like, I can't think of a word for it. Maybe somebody can help me, but it's bothersome. It's on you. This thing is on you. You just can't. You know.
Can't get it off your mind?
Maybe he was disturbed.
Disturbed. He was disturbed, troubled, and bothered.
Troubled?
Yes.
Anybody else?
Grieved.
Yes, grieved. Mm-hmm. All those good words.
Mm-hmm. I like the word trouble.
You like trouble?
I like the word trouble because for the mere reason, the word, this thing that was the word that he received, that he had received, it troubled him to the point that he was troubled, grieved, I think I heard somebody say a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And when I reread this, it gave me the impression that he was mourning for 3 full weeks, mm-hmm. Which also meant that the boy didn't bathe either. You got to understand what was going through this boy's mind. He just didn't believe in bathing for 3 foot. He was just troubled. He was grieved. He didn't put in the water on him. He didn't wash off at all for 3 whole weeks.
Anybody else?
Well, sometimes we can have stuff on our hearts that grieves us to that point, mm-hmm. where we just mourning in prayer.
I'm going to do an end around on y'all.
Okay.
you wouldn't call that being depressed, would you?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Now remember, my question was, how would you relate what he did and what he was going through for 3 full weeks to today?
Could you say he was fasting?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when we go into verse 3 here, let me tell you how she came to that and how I came to that, and we're going to have a small discussion about it. All right. Verse 3, and I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were
fulfilled.
A fast. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm not eating, I'm not drinking, I'm putting everything aside because this thing is that serious. All right? So now how do we apply what is serious And what would make us go to that extent to say, I'm going to have to shed everything down except God?
When we're going through something or when God shows us something, then that's an example for us. When God showed us something in the past, it's like you used to be bothered or something, but now that we know the truth, we need to do like Daniel. God shows us something. We need to get in prayer, shut everything down, food, everything, and really hear from him and see him where he wants to direct us. Get in tune with the Spirit.
Okay. What else? Do you have to be shown something from God? Can it be something from the man of God?
Yeah, he can show.
Can it be a purpose, a drive, a goal, a statement made as a church? There may be a vision for the church.
Right.
Can you have been given a vision from God about your life?
Yes.
And is it that is it that serious that when he shows it to you, you see a part, but in order to get this thing to start to get the measure of it, then you have to say, okay, I'm about to shut the world out so that I can get clear revelation of how to allow this thing to transpire.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I want us to think about it. What first gets in the way after God tells you something?
Flesh.
That's it. Oh, Lord.
Overpowering.
I mean, the first thing we do is look at us, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know. Maybe this is a different group. Maybe this is a different, but when God gives you a vision, isn't the vision always bigger than you anyway?
Too big, like the giant.
So, Bobby?
Are we speaking individually or corporately as a church? Because when I look at this vision, when the statement or question that you raised, I'm of the opinion God does not speak individually to us as a church. He speaks to the pastor. The pastor, as you mentioned a few minutes ago about the man of God, he speaks to us. I don't see God telling all of us individually what he tells the pastor. I don't see that.
I didn't say that.
Well, that's why I want to get a clarification
on what you're saying. I want you to understand. I said what would cause you to go to the extent that you say, I'm going to shed out everything. I said, and would it necessarily have to be you been given a vision like Daniel was, or could you be exposed to a vision that maybe the pastor says, would that cause you to say, okay, I hear where the church needs to go,
right,
and in order for me to do my part in here, I'm going to shed off everything,
right,
and go into prayer. That's what
okay.
It was, not
okay.
Well, we have an example that we collectively are doing, and that's the building on the renovations. That
the CIC?
Yeah, collectively as a group that you can shut down and pray. And so that is the goal that the church has as a collective group, that we can exercise the fasting and prayer.
Aha! Uh-huh.
But God also shows you individually as a person in terms of the direction he wants for your life. But you have a responsibility too. You have it collectively as a church, but outside the church, God is revealing in you where he wants you to do in your life.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
I agree with that.
Okay.
A lot of times people, they would fast when they want to make sure that they are doing what God wants them to do. So they want to hear God say, this is what I want you to do. And a lot of times when you're eating, looking at television, those other activities.
You mean TV will distract you? But if you
today,
go...
Today?
stop, but I'm just saying, if you go pray, you got a designated time to pray. So how did that affect your TV time?
Because it's a distraction.
Oh, okay.
Because what can happen is, oh man, I got to see what happened. Days of My Life. This is the second. They're getting ready to do something. But what I'm saying is, it keeps you from giving your full attention
right.
to God.
I saw three or four things in here. One, we assume that we got to eat every day to live. And the scripture said we must take God's word in like bread as well. Man should not live by what?
Bread alone.
Right. So it says not only bread, neither came flesh, which is meat, or wine in his mouth. And we do know that back in that day, wine was as precious as water, because water was hard to find, but the grapes were easy to get. So a lot of the wine that they drank back then, all of it wasn't fermented. So let's keep aware that when he said he wasn't drinking wine, it wasn't that he decided he wasn't getting drunk for 3 weeks. So let's clear that up. Neither did I anoint myself at all.
Mm-hmm. With oil. He just put lotion on.
That's what I'm talking about. He went rusty, smelly.
He may have kept the same clothes on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, now in another version I had, it was talking about him being in sackcloth and ashes. And mm-hmm. So he really got down.
He humbled himself.
He really humbled and said, you know, not only has God shown himself strong on his behalf before, for him to come up with this one, and then the vision he saw this time had a little bit longer deal on it. He had to really get down with it, right? Because all of the other times he was interpreting somebody else's dream, right?
Mm-hmm. I may be jumping ahead, but what caused this morning?
What caused what?
What caused him to be in that morning for three full weeks? What situation came up?
Because a thing was revealed to him in verse 1.
Because of the thing?
It was a vision. It was a dream. It was something that God gave him. We're going to learn more about it.
That's what I said. I may be jumping.
We're going to get it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, the whole thing, listen, actually 10, 11, and 12 is going to unfold it all. These last three chapters in the book of Daniel is going to get deep.
I don't think she's jumping ahead, because really, when you look at verse 1 mm-hmm. There,
uh-huh.
that explains it in a sense to a question right there, because the angel had given Daniel the word, and Daniel received the word,
uh-huh.
what the angel gave him, and that's part of his mourning there. That was his answer to the vision out of chapter 7, 8, 9.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this right here coincide that an angel giving him a message from God.
So he understood it. He understood the thing, and that thing that he understood caused him mourning.
To mourn.
Right.
To
but again, now, he had to get himself ready for everything that was going to play after the thing was revealed to him. And this is what we're going to see in the next few verses.
Okay.
Well, my scripture says he was concerned because the events that happened, it was going to happen in the future.
Uh-huh.
And it was times of war and great hardship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's what had him in that
state. In that state of being.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because if you look at all of the other visions that he had, they were given to him so that he could encourage who? Why were the dreams
kings,
given to him?
The people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we need to go back and deal with
the people?
Each time it was an alert to the people to say, you in trouble? And this is what's getting ready to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But being what? Courage.
Courage.
Courage. God ain't left you even though you're in bondage, because guess what? They were in bondage.
So if you get taken into bondage, the first thing you might want to consider is I'm in trouble. And you're not going to blame yourself for why you got in trouble. Because I never really saw anywhere in here where they repented for idol worship. You see what I'm talking about? All this stuff that they were doing, they never understood that, because you've been doing wrong, God punishing you, even though the prophet was talking to them the whole time.
Okay.
See, they never did get it. Mm-hmm. Look at Moses' situation. He told them to wait down there at the bottom. And as soon as he went up there, stayed up there, they get the lumbering down there. Look, man,
acted up.
Here we are down here. He gone up there, man. We need to have something going on down here. So I'm just saying, we got, if we want to really get deep now, it doesn't matter about what God do. If there's not a change in our heart, we still going to continue to do
what we've been doing.
And so even though God come and hit you in the head, you know, if you don't have a heart change, you still just say, I just got hit in the head. Mm-hmm. You know, not, why did I get hit in the head? And if I start doing better, I'll stop getting hit in the head. You know, they just keep going and going.
Daniel, when he saw that vision, he saw tribulations and trials and warfare, and it was hard for him. So the thing that really got to me, and it's getting to me now, where Daniel submitted and surrendered himself before the Lord, when he said he didn't do nothing that flesh would do. He didn't want to do nothing to get so no flesh could glory in the Lord's sight. He wanted to just submit and humble, and that's deep. He didn't want nothing to get in his way because he knew what he had to do. He had to go back before the people because God had showed him this vision. And in that vision, you know, when they have warfare and stuff, we went back. If you go back to Nebuchadnezzar taking Daniel away from his homeland, wars were brought. They took you, enslaved you, and did all kind of things, killed people. So he saw all of that, so he was troubled.
So out of all those people, was Daniel the only one that was mourning and grieving over the people? Was he the only prophet that saw it that way? That the people were in trouble?
Go ahead.
Daniel.
Claudia, what we have to say is he's the only one that's recorded to have that way. Because if not, then we'd be speculating.
Okay.
But it was, you know, it had to be some more people wrong.
That was aware. was aware of feeling the same way Daniel was feeling. I'm just.
But some more people probably. Daniel probably was the only one who saw the vision.
Right. And we're gonna tell you, he was the only one to see.
Because this is
Daniel's story.
Right.
This is the book of Daniel. We're talking about how God has used Daniel to speak to the people. Daniel is one of the prophets. There are a lot of other prophets, but this is the book of Daniel that we're studying right now. There's other prophets out there, but we're looking at the book of Daniel and how can we relate to how God is using Daniel is the way we can relate to how God can use us if we have that kind of heart. And that more excellent spirit in him was dictated back in 6, where it says he prayed 3 times a day, and what was found in him was what? A more excellent spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So out of this book of Daniel that we're reading, we're seeing how God has worked through one prophet, and we're just dealing with Daniel.
Okay.
And Daniel is a very interesting prophet because he was one of the few that did not suffer like the rest. Even though he was captured, he lived a fairly easy life, even though he was still in bondage.
Okay.
Out of the other prophets that you read, suffered, man, them boys starved, they were, mm-hmm, they were beat, they were run out of town. Now all of them weren't that way, but all of them were not in this kind of position that they were elevated to go through 3 different kingdoms and keep the same, mm-hmm, position to be able to speak to folk. Most times when the prophet came, he needed to have a good story. You know, and people didn't know what to think about when the prophet showed up, because most of the time when the prophet pointed his finger, it was bad.
it wasn't good at all.
He comes.
You know, come on.
Even though they might have realized that they needed it, it's still when the prophet came, you know, it was God speaking. Every time God spoke, you know, it was pretty tough on them. So let's move on a little bit, and then we're going to get a little understanding. And then the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which was Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with what? Fine gold. Fine gold of Upzar. His body also was like beryl. Anybody know what like
beryl?
It's a black stone.
I love it.
I don't know.
So what complexion might he have been?
Brown.
It's brown. Dark.
That's skin. What it is.
No, he's not too light.
Huh? You too light.
Too
that's
light.
Where yeah. they get the shrine of Madonna a lot of times. No.
Black Madonna.
That's yep. right.
All right. His like okay. Beryl. His face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color of polished brass. I love it. That just excites me so. And the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision.
Okay.
See, he saw it, but no one else
for the
did.
Men, yeah, that for the men that were with me saw not the vision.
All right. Mm-hmm. So here we are with an example of a certain man. Anybody wanna think about a certain man?
It's kind of well. I don't wanna. Conclusion, but Paul kind of had an experience like that. Where the people who were with him didn't see or didn't hear what Paul heard.
Right.
But they know something was going on.
Right.
Was it Christ that he saw? But these heard. That's why they ran.
They heard, but the noise.
No, that's not why they ran.
Oh, I thought it was a
noise. It was an earthquake.
It was an earthquake.
The ground got to shake it. Oh. So they could tell something was going on. And I'm out of here.
I'm right.
I'm out of here. People scatter when the ground starts shaking today. Everybody try to get no, I'm serious.
When
your situation get to where you don't have your feet on the
ground,
I'm trying to get to where I can get some stability.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. It said, but there was a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. And there I was, left alone, and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me. Now, again, this is what Betty and some of the other people were talking about. When God is really in the midst of sharing something with you, your regular senses are confused. The spirit and the body don't ever line up with that. It just don't. So it's going to be a drain on you. You know, because your body trying to comprehend, your head saying one thing, but then here you are looking, you know, you're looking at this thing. And Daniel has had this experience before. So this is not the first time that this has come upon him in that manner. So there remained no strength in him, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. So anybody dare deal with that? For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption.
And I retained no strength.
the way I see it is Daniel, when you see the vision, Daniel is dealing with two things. When Daniel, God gave Daniel the vision in the spirit. He was caught up in the spirit when he saw the vision. But afterwards, as you always say, your mind, which is your flesh, after you retain it after that, and you come down from the spirit, it's like you always have to pray and ask God to give you the boldness and the strength to do that will. Because it takes a lot out of you. If he stood before the Lord, it took a lot out of him in the flesh.
Anybody else?
I can just imagine it messed him up.
Yes.
Probably hair standing on his face, his eyes.
Everything.
Yeah. Like fire.
I'm going to do an end around again. After being in the presence and seeing this, that he thought had anything of worth, like him himself, he saw that he was nothing.
Right.
So what?
He saw that he was nothing.
Yes.
When that light of God shines up, we see everything within us. You see what I'm talking about? The reflection of truly I'm not worthy.
True.
So
we're talking about a humility came on, because when he sees who he sees, he already know he don't measure up. You see what I mean? And so us understanding our frailties, right, and the things that hinder us in our flesh are even more magnified when we get in his presence. That's why humility is the number one thing, because don't let that light have that kind of effect. Just go and get down there anyway, right? So that's why I was talking to you all about what would cause you to say, okay, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to do this. Because this is something that we should have in the back of our minds at some point to do on a regular basis. You know, I don't think you have to wait for a specific vision. But let me say this. If you want to get closer to God, if you got that desire to want your spirit individual to grow, the things that hinder it are the things that he put down.
Right.
So in order for us to get to where Daniel was, and we all should desire that, because everybody in here is a leader. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in here just to be in here. God is shaping and getting you ready for something. So by us studying this particular book, then for us to be able to be directed and used of God, we're not to look at us, right? We ought to keep our eyes on him to keep this down. And if we pray 3 times a day and we have that right attitude, then God can say, let me show you something. You can get that tap on the shoulder and say, you ready now for me to expose you to something. But if you caught up in your flesh, if you caught up in what you eat, in what you drink, right, in what you drive, in what you wear, in your status, and all these other things, then when God's trying to talk to you, you're either trying to drive, trying to eat, you are busy doing these things that are non-spiritual.
Wow.
I think Isaiah had a similar experience.
Oh, don't let me get into that. Don't let me get it.
I think Isaiah, it caused conviction to come upon him.
Well,
he said, I'm a man of unclean lips.
Ooh, he said, in order for me to speak, I need for you to take them coal from the altar, right, and press them on my lips, because I know I'm not worthy to talk.
Yeah.
But if you would set them boys afire, right? Now, he just said just take some hot coals. He said, I want them from the altar. Well, some what? Real sacrifices taking place. I didn't want you to go there, because I get excited when you get there. That's my prophet there.
But it's kind of like what you were saying, though. A lot of times when God is showing you something, he's showing you because he is wanting you to be involved in what he's showing you. Like he wanted Isaiah to go, because he asked him, who shall go?
Right.
He wanted Isaiah to go and tell, it's like a warning again, tell the people, hey, y'all finna get, y'all are in trouble.
Big trouble, not just trouble.
Y'all are in trouble, and if you don't turn around to God, you're gonna have some issues. Say it like that.
And if you start studying Isaiah and the way God used him, he dealt with the flesh, he dealt with all areas of man through Isaiah. All areas.
So in other words, from studying this Daniel, it is brought closer to me, really, why we should pray. It's ultimate to pray. Because God is showing us and giving us visions all the time of where we should go and what we should tell the people.
Now let me do an end run. All right. In order for you to fulfill God's vision, you are going to have to be in place to hear it.
Right.
Right.
All right. So it's incumbent upon you after you're in the place to hear it to have yourself in condition to hear. Because you can be sitting there with your mind all over the place and vision is coming forth. You could be in church, yeah, but not be in church.
That's right.
Your body could be in church, but your mind can be at the beach. At Red Lobster. with your friends, I got to get home, I got to do
the
this.
Time for the football game.
Yeah. Football game, your favorite soap, your favorite story. Even though you got it recorded, it ain't going nowhere. You know, you already. I want us to draw every little bit of this, because now is the time. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time God sent his son. So it's time that he gonna send those that are ready to be sent. And if you're not able to pray three times a day, if you're not able to be able to put down bread, meat, water, right? Your base things to allow God to minister to you, because guess what? If you went a week or two without eating, you are not going to die. It's really not going to happen to you. You think it will. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And it's them first 3 or 4 days which is the roughest, because that's when your body cries the loudest. I mean, the more you put it down, the easier it is to work with. But it's just how do you get to that first point?
But I also see, normally Daniel gets the revelation of his vision sooner. But this was serious because he hung in there and he was determined, no matter how long it was going to take, for him to get the understanding. Right.
Okay, go to...
I won't say it. Let me say this right here.
Go back to verse 1 and you'll see why it was.
But I was just going to comment about the hunger that you were talking about. One time, we had a 40-day fast, liquids only. Mm-hmm. The first day, like you say, was horrible. Second day was tough, but then it started getting easier. But what it does, if you really want to do it, then you will pray. You will pray with more intensity, because it's going to take God to help you complete that fast. Mm. So after the third day, you're really not interested in eating, but you will have some hunger pains, but it'll cause your prayer life to intensify, mm-hmm, because you got to depend on God
to get through this.
Mm-hmm. I know I was sometimes at work, I'd be crying, mm-hmm, leaning on the wall. Oh, come on, please help me, Lord.
Because
it was tough.
But it was your flesh crying.
Yes, sir.
It was your flesh. Let me go back to what you said. In verse 1, it says, but the time appointed was long. What he said was that thing wasn't like what
he was interpreting everybody else's dream. It was like, well, one gonna come, another one gonna come. This one was long. So this one was different from all the other ones that he had.
All right. This is how bad it was. Now he looked at it within himself and he saw that he wasn't worthy. That's when we get to this part, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. I got weak. He said, I got weak. Not only that, he said, yet I heard a voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Anybody want to, he, not only did he go to sleep, he fell face first down. He on the ground.
My Bible say he fainted.
Yep. But when he went down, it was boom. Mm-hmm. He in the dirt.
Mm.
I think all of us
would be in the dirt. if we had that encounter with God.
And now if you ever really seen somebody faint, now for you all super Christian folk, most time when folk lay hands. And you know somebody gonna be back there, right? Mm-hmm. So you know I've seen it different ways, but when somebody really faint, you just drop like a rock. Mm-hmm. I've seen them fought people,
oh, yeah.
And they hit, when they hit, you be like, oh my God, and they have a concussion.
It scares you
because when your body go limp and you hit, I mean, you don't have any control of, well, I'm not gonna let my head hit that hard. It's like, boom.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I mean, a lot of people really got hurt fainting. You know, some people when they do, it's not well a table around, and then when they faint, they gonna faint around the table. Mm-hmm. They hit the table and the ground. I mean, when you lose control, right, to that. Verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms
of my hands.
He's in all four position. Y'all, y'all see?
Yeah. Yeah, he's already
was on his face, right? Mm-hmm. So when the hand got him, it just brought him up enough to where he could lift his head up, but he's on his knees and his palms. And said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Can I hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Can I hear that? Can any of us have a desire, because we pray three times a day, because we've been faithful to him, because we have put our flesh down, because we have denied and not taken all of the things around us as important, but we've submitted ourselves. That's when you get that well done, that good and faithful. That's when you get that, you know, it's gonna take some sacrifice. And usually it's something that you don't want to give up, but it's always worth it.
To contemporize it, which is, it's not going to be a good expression, for it's not a spiritual, but he was totally sold out.
Totally sold out. No pain, no gain.
Mm-hmm. Also, when in that particular passage, as the angel is saying, oh, Daniel, a man of great beloved, he's delivered a message from God. Like when Daniel had prayed, God heard his prayer before he even uttered it.
Yeah.
And still going back to verse number one, this angel had already shared this information with Daniel. So Daniel, the angel is letting Daniel know, you are greatly beloved by the Father, God the Father. Mm-hmm. Oh man, thou art greatly beloved.
Mm. Wow. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now
sent.
Ooh, what confirmation. What confirmation. And when he has spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Me too.
me too.
Me
too. Me too. Just from what he described.
Just reading. It's like, yeah, that would be an awesome encounter.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. And he called his name Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Mm-hmm. Pick out some key things in that.
God heard his prayer before he prayed.
And what else?
God chose him.
And God sent him to answer it.
He said, for the first day thou didst set thy heart to what?
Understand.
He said, then he chastened thyself before the Lord. What's the chastening?
He humbled himself.
He fasted.
When he put everything else down. Aside.
Submission and surrender.
Yes.
Totally sold out.
So in other words, we can do the same thing.
We can. If we decide that we're going to set ourselves apart and respect the word when it comes.
Now I realize that.
But the good thing is this was not a one-time occasion.
Right.
You can't just be sold out today.
I got to be sold out every day.
Yes, ma'am.
As much as possible.
Okay.
Okay, can I just challenge
not
y'all?
Not just on Sunday.
You heard what you said?
I'm not gonna bother that. Because well, this is not that crowd. This is not that group.
This ain't that group.
This is not this group. This group here stayed before him because we want to know some things. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Right. We have a desire to be used in this last day. We know that we in the last.
Oh yes.
So this is why it's incumbent upon us to be able to follow these kind of principles. See, first you want your name to be called.
Yes.
Not only beloved, but you want your name to be called. So it's not by chance that he's talking. He called your name because he's familiar with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want him to call my name. Have any of you all heard your name called?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I heard your name called.
Yes.
I'm just asking. I didn't want to be the only one. I've been wondering. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you ever? Mm-hmm. I was on the first time I heard my name called. I was in an elevator, and I had a court appearance. I got in the elevator. I had been praying about it. I got in the elevator. The door closed, and he said, "Gerald, my son."
Wow.
Be not dismayed. Mm. It's going to work out for you. Mm. And I'm looking around because I'm wondering if the other people in the elevator. Yeah. I mean, because it was like that. It was it wasn't a voice of many waters, but it was one I never heard, and it was loud. Mm. And the main things I heard was Gerald. I was like, oh, that was personal. And it was. When I got up there and started talking to the lady, she just started looking through some papers and she said, you know, any other time, you know, we wouldn't even be dealing with this situation like that because I had them over the barrel, you know, and I was expecting for them to say, no, that's not how this getting ready to operate. The lady said, we don't usually do this, but that was an error and we're going to have to go ahead on and handle this particular one. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to write this letter verifying that there was a mistake made, you know, so that you can be cleared of this situation.
Wow.
Because, you know, they were trying to get some money from me. It was my fault. They hadn't sent the information out. Mm. And so they didn't want to really admit the fact that they didn't send the information out. They wanted to keep it on me, so I had to pay that money. Mm. But the lady did the right thing.
So the Lord was your advocate?
Oh, yeah. He was my lawyer. My lawyer said, my son, I got this case for you.
Wow.
That was one that stood in the gap and made up the hedge. Yeah. Right? But you got to get him on this side. Oh, y'all didn't want me to preach that one. I'm glad I would have done that. Portia looking at me like, don't get started back there.
Next week.
Yeah, I'm going to preach next week.
Sermon.
Yeah, I got that one now. He said, "Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me once and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. But now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, and yet the vision is for how many days?
Many
days.
As we come to a draw, as our time runs out.
I want to make one observation.
Make it.
This is where we get the Daniel fast from.
Daniel fast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Where we fast 21 days
mm-hmm.
from right here.
Right here. Okay.
Okay.
I'll say one observation based on the last passage you read there about Michael. Michael and Gabriel was two of the angels that was instrumental in God dealing with this situation. Mm. And I'm going to preempt the statement just for a minute. God gives us just enough information in this book right here. We obey this. Welcome home, that good and faithful servant. This is all we need to know. Now, having said that, I think it's the book of Asher. You find some information in it where these angels are fighting with the satanic beings. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to keep them from reaching Daniel to get the word. And see, that is not important because we have enough here
right.
to obey God to get to his kingdom right here. Well, I just like to get into this, to, you know, get all that stuff.
To bring that home, when we pray, our prayers go up.
Right.
And when our answer comes down, there's a battle for it.
Yes.
Right. Because there are forces.
Let me point the finger.
Right between this level here that deals with that kind of thing. So
that's true.
That is a struggle in the heavenlies.
And that's where we get, well, that's not where we get, but that's a picture of spiritual warfare.
Right. Spiritual warfare. When we had, when it said that spiritual warfare in heavenly places, there's a battle going on. When we get in the New Testament, when it talks about our prayers and that sort of thing, a lot of that is verified from what was spoken here. The fact that when we pray, we got to be consistent in it.
Absolutely.
And not wonder why if we don't get an answer today, we're not gonna get an answer. You know, that's why we have to be patient. When it said we can come against principalities and powers and wickedness and rulers against high places, we have a responsibility to use everything that we've been given power to do. When we have the blood of Jesus, we can use that. It said we've been given power to tread over what? Serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy so that no thing shall by any means harm you.
Uh-huh.
So we've been given weapons of our warfare which are not carnal but are mighty through God to the pulling down of what?
Strongholds.
Why would you have to pull it down if it's right here in front of you?
Coming down from the heavens.
Plus he said he left us the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's
he
that's
said, I am the Father in me, and I in you. I will not leave you alone.
Right. To be not only alongside, but
that's
to be
right.
in
you.
So we have
and then when you don't know how to pray, right? Mm-hmm. When we don't know how to pray, then we have an advocate. We
that's
have
right.
one that gets with our spirit to help get
that's
the,
right.
to help to get it done right,
that's
and then
right.
to help to get it back in too. Bible readers.
And that's another thing. A lot of times we think we just have to call words out, and you know somebody tell us to pray. We just start going words. But some, when you said we don't know what to pray for, you just be still and let God flow into you. Give Him His words for you. You know, mm-hmm. and God will just be still and hear from Him.
Just, you know, well, not only that, we had somebody come and tell us about speaking in tongues and being able to have a demonstration that you could get out of yourself and get into the spirit.
That's right.
Hello, somebody.
All right, with what he needed.
You know, just not to say others wasn't, but this was a very encouraging lesson.
Yes, it was.
What verse was that we left off?
10:15. We stopped at 10:15. Daniel 10:15.